Jobs, of course, didn't see it that way. "I haven't got any sort of odd chip on my shoulder," he told Newsweek. Once again, he invited his favorite reporters over to his Woodside home, and this time he did not have Andy Cunningham there urging him to be circumspect. He dismissed the allegation that he had improperly lured the five colleagues from Apple. "These people all called me," he told the gaggle of journalists who were milling around in his unfurnished living room. "They were thinking of leaving the company. Apple has a way of neglecting people." He decided to cooperate with a Newsweek cover in order to get his version of the story out, and the interview he gave was revealing. "What I'm best at doing is finding a group of talented people and making things with them," he told the magazine. He said that he would always harbor affection for Apple. "I'll always remember Apple like any man remembers the first woman he's fallen in love with." But he was also willing to fight with its management if need be. When someone calls you a thief in public, you have to respond. Apple's threat to sue him was outrageous. It was also sad. It showed that Apple was no longer a confident, rebellious company. It's hard to think that a $2 billion company with 4,300 employees couldn't compete with six people in blue jeans. To try to counter Jobs' spin, Scully called Wozniak and urged him to speak out. "Steve can be an insulting and hurtful guy," he told Time that week. He revealed that Jobs had asked him to join his new firm. It would have been a sly way to land another blow against Apple's current management. But he wanted no part of such games and had not returned Jobs' phone call. To the San Francisco Chronicle, he recounted how Jobs had blocked Frog Design from working on his remote control under the pretense that it might compete with Apple products. "I look forward to a great product, and I wish him success. But his integrity, I cannot trust," Wozniak said.